Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. I think a parent's job is to protect our children but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love him. Keep him safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
My Shiro doesn't always wear a cape, but she always has time for a hug, a smile, for going the extra mile. My Shiro stretches every dollar, puts in long hours, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. When you're ready to retire, we want you to be able to enjoy it. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceretirement.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out She Can STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
We're back at the top of the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin and Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison, and I'm your host, Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry. Feel free to call or text anytime here to 844-967-2789. And so in this hour, we're going to talk about some more random things because it's a wonderful Friday. I'd love to say that we are seeing snow, but... Or say, we are seeing snow, but we're not seeing sun.
No,
but
we're not seeing any sun.
Hopefully we'll get a little glimpse. You know, it's not as gray as it could be. And so, as we get into this hour, you know, there are a couple of things out here that come to top of my mind here. And one of the big ones here is the state of public education. And I know I'm sure a lot of people here around the state are recognizing that we've got the teacher shortage. We've got all kinds of things happening in the classroom. We got things happening at the administrative level. But the big thing that I've been hearing, and I was actually one digging into it because I have three kids, two kids in the elementary level and one that will soon be in the elementary level, those DPI results, the Department of Public Instruction, those proficiencies and those results that came out this week were startling for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And here come, what is it, April, when we have school board elections coming up again. And I know even in my municipality in Wauwatosa, I think there's going to be at least four seats open. I think there's going to be some heads on the chopping block and people that are going to be looking in different directions at the superintendent and at the school boards all across the state, because proficiencies in math and language, they were okay, but they're declining.
It's not good.
No.
It really isn't good. And certainly kids lost a lot of ground during the pandemic. And I can't imagine, you were home with your kids mm-hmm. during the pandemic and trying to work.
It was tough. They not only trying to work, but trying to be as good as a classroom teacher.
Sure.
You know, whether it was the days we had to do things on our own while we worked or give the attention to our work and the same amount of attention to our kids on a brand new laptop or a county or school issued laptop that they've never seen before. And to get a 5 or 6 or 7 year old up to speed in a day or two to now participate on a Zoom that they've never seen before and to be able to recognize all the things that come that we're seeing from as business professionals being on a screen. That's not how kids learn.
No, it's not.
And it's not, I don't personally think it's not optimal for it. You know, if it's a one-off, there are opportunities. Hey, if you're sick and this is a way we can get you to interact, we can pull these things in. It's no different than the e-gaming and that kind of stuff, but not for every day. And I understand that there are virtual schools and things out there for, you know, kids with certain circumstances, but I'm talking about for the masses. I don't think that our communities statewide, I don't care if you're in Beaver Dam, Black River Falls, Onalaska, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Beloit, doesn't matter. We can't afford for our communities to go down because we all know one thing that's as sure as death and taxes, and we're going to talk about taxes. Your communities go down when your schools go down. The quality of the education for those kids and those families, people will up and move, and that migration will be to someplace else where there are better schools.
Yes.
That is without a doubt a fact.
And the fact is going to remain that, and I don't know enough personally about the voucher program and mm-hmm. all of those things, but private schools are going to remain out of reach for many, many people.
That's right.
Right. It's never going to, they're never going to open their doors for everyone. I just don't see that happening. And we need our public schools. We need teachers. It breaks my heart the way that this state demonized teachers and made them the enemies. And then to go through the pandemic and parents having to take on those responsibilities and hopefully gaining a little bit more appreciation for what it is the teachers do. But I don't think that's translated to appreciation or compensation.
No, I think you're 100% correct there. You know, if I ever get elected to anything at this state or in any state or anywhere else, I tell people the two places that will get a significant pay increase are the teachers and our police and firefighters.
Yeah.
Because I don't, they're two different, you know, ends of the spectrum, but they matter most in our communities. They're the ones who take care of us. The teachers take care of us inside the school to make sure that our kids have someplace that is safe. In some place that you don't have to worry. And, you know, I know all these bad things happen with these school shootings and everything else, and those are very unfortunate, but your kids should never feel unsafe. They shouldn't ever feel any type of way when it comes to their teacher. That should be the number one person. And I grew up, you know, in a smaller town, not a small town, in Florida, and to this day, and, you know, and she's not doing so well, but my third grade teacher was one of the most important people in my life. I remember my second grade teacher, she was good. My fourth and fifth grade teachers were pretty awesome, but my third grade teacher, Mrs. Wiggins, was one of the most incredible people. And she followed, when Facebook came out, she followed me on Facebook all these years later.
Wow.
And she would chime in, and she had an unfortunate accident hiking a few years ago, and now she's battling some dementia. So I put all the love and prayers out there to her and her family because I went to school with her daughter. But those teachers matter.
What was it about Mrs. Wiggins in particular that you remember?
She cared.
And how did she...
The care, whether you were doing something right or doing something wrong, you always knew where you stood because she was authentic, she was honest, and she was fair. She would take the time to come and, you know, bring you to the side. If there's something that, you know, she didn't agree with, it was never anything punitive. Yes, you might have gotten in trouble, but you still had... You felt safe in the sense that it was... She took the time, and she had the care, custody, and control of the situation to make sure that you learned something and that she was still there for you. You weren't left out in the cold. You weren't abandoned. You know, I see a lot of teachers, and by the time I got to high school, I had a lot of teachers that were in their, you know, not, and it's no knock on a teacher in their 20s. My sister-in-law out in Middleton, Madison, was a teacher, still works in the school system. But teachers have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by the parents, and they have a tremendous amount of pressure on them by their community because they're stretched thin. They're stretched thin by the paycheck because when they subtract and do the math and, you know, divide their hours that they spent, they're trading more than time for money.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving themselves up to this, to the job, and they're not getting anything for it. I said, but at the same token, they burn out a whole lot quicker. You know, the teachers back then, I remember I look back, I thought teachers were young when I was in school. They were in their late 40s and 50s, but they were career teachers. Now if you meet a teacher that's got 10 years in, I mean, more power to you.
Yeah.
I give you high praise because a lot of them don't make it past 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, the dynamic has changed so much.
Very much.
Again, I'm at the very end of the baby boom, and our teachers were the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And if my teacher called my mother, she would believe the teacher regardless. There was no, Jane, what's your side of the story? I didn't have a side of the story.
That's right.
The teacher was the authority figure whose word was taken. Now, I don't have kids, but I think parents stick their nose in too much sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
They do. And assuming Billy or Susie or Jenny or Eric are always innocent and being there to be their lawyer, I don't know. I don't know that that's doing a service for our children.
I would agree there in that sense, and I'm guilty of it. You know, if the school called and said, Dane did something here, my first thought is like, I want the whole story. I need to know what happened. I need all the details. I need to know what's what. But then I've learned over these, you know, I've only had a couple of years to learn this.
Right.
And as a parent, a new parent, it's a learning curve. But you have to learn quickly that the teachers are there to do a job, a hard job, a job that we learned in 2020. I absolutely do not want. I was hell-bent on if something was going to change and we were going to go back into lockdown, oh, we were buying a teacher. We are going to the school system to find, all right, it's going to be highest bidder.
We need our own.
We will have our own. I am not doing, I have all the respect for those who have the time, patience, and the glory within to be homeschool parents, I couldn't do it. I'd close the door, I'd walk out, drive away, and probably not come back if I had to do that all day, every day, 5 days a week, and to make sure that they survived for K through 12, because that's incredibly hard. That's a lot. It's a big task. And I know there are circumstances where people do that for whatever their reasons are, but it shouldn't be equally hard for those teachers in the classroom. And parents have to get out of the way.
Yes, they do. And our teachers should not have to be paying out of pocket for school supplies.
100%. 100%. I'm the first one, you know, any type of picnic or event. And we are very fortunate. We live in Wauwatosa and have a great school district. And our public schools are outstanding. I know the difference between going a half a mile just east of us into a Milwaukee public school. They don't have the resources that we do. They don't hold the events and have the fundraisers that we do. They don't have the bash. They don't have
the science fairs, right?
Oh my gosh, forget a science fair. They don't have a science program in some cases in some of these schools where we have, we had a referendum and spent millions of dollars and built a new school and did this and did that. And we added a STEM program inside the school and we have a STEM lab and we have new furniture. We have all these things. But when you look at the things that our kids across the state, whether it's rural communities or in the city of Milwaukee or down in Beloit or Kenosha, no matter where it is, those kids deserve to have the resources. And they also deserve to have a quality of teacher that doesn't have to deal with the politics.
Absolutely.
Because the politics in the classroom, I think that's where those teachers hit their boiling points and they can't get out of the way because now they're bound by the bureaucracy of the, you know, administration and the layers and the red tape and all of this other stuff. And I think if we can let teachers teach, put the students first and let that cycle of the ecosystem inside the classroom, inside the walls of that school and inside the district, that's how you restore our public school systems. Because I don't know, and I've been reading these articles. There's some really good articles, but I don't know if throwing more money at the schools, not the teachers, but at the schools and at the system and creating more layers is the answer. If you want to tell me I want to fix the budget and every teacher is going to get a 60% increase and they're going to be paid, you know, all throughout the year, there's none of this, you know, I don't know all the rules out there on, well, they don't get paid summers, they get paid partial, they can stretch it. No. They spend a lot more hours than 40 hours a week with those kids. And I am extremely happy to say that, you know, I'm very proud and very satisfied with the teachers that my kids have had because they put that time. And I think there's so many places that the teachers, just like the parents, don't have the time because they'll say, I've got to teach to the test. I've got to follow this that I got from curriculum and instruction and instructional design. The director of this and the director of that said we have to cover these things. And it became more about us checking something off and saying that we did it versus making it about putting that student first so that everybody can have that experience with Mrs. Wiggins like I did.
While we're talking about Mrs. Wiggins, Brooke, real quickly, who was your favorite teacher that you remember having a big influence on you?
Oh my gosh, I was hoping you were going to ask me this. I was just, as you guys were talking about it, I pulled up her Facebook because we're friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. She was my first grade teacher. And she, oh my gosh, when I talk about her, I literally get emotional because she is one of the best people I have ever known. She has such an impact on my life. And like, she used to have like bunnies in the classroom. And after that, I always wanted a bunny. I ended up with a 50-pound dog, but
almost a bunny.
I always loved animals after that. And now she rescues kittens. She turned half of her house into like a little like sanctuary for cats. Like, what an incredible person. And she works at some of the fairs sometimes in the summer, so I always go and I hunt her down and I find her. And every time we see each other, she's like, "You look the same as when you were about six."
That's right.
What's her name?
Mrs. Het.
All right, Mrs. Het.
Shout out to Mrs. Het and shout out to Miss Zarin, who was my fifth grade teacher. She told me I could write and I had a way with words, and she changed my life.
That's right. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden,
I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with a low of 33. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 55. Tomorrow, mainly sunny. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 37. Chance for scattered showers Sunday with highs in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy skies Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
All right, and we are back here after the break here. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Call or text anytime at 844-967-2789. And so, again, I'm going to jump around because this is a random Friday, and we're going to have some fun. I got more questions for Gen Z, so I hope all of our listeners here are getting a learning experience here. And I got a simple question here because I hear a lot of comments about Gen Z because they're so sensitive, and they're sensitive about everything, and they're this, that, and the other. So I have a simple question, and Brooke, you tell me, is Gen Z, are they hypersensitive, or are they morally attentive?
Ooh, this is where I'm like really split because I feel like in some ways both.
Okay.
Like I feel like looking at like sometimes when I like watch the things my parents used to watch, because I feel like I am an old soul in the way of like the music I listen to and I like the stuff I watch that my parents used to watch and stuff like that. And some of that stuff, like I'll find it funny or I'll find it interesting. And then like later I'll hear like people are really mad about it. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes don't always see the harm in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the same breath, there are things where that like people should absolutely be mad about that I also get mad about. So it's hard. I don't know. I think it just varies with each situation because there are definitely things that I'm like, I feel like we are just wanting to be angry about something and this is the wrong thing to be angry about. And there are moments where I was like, that person said something really awful, racist, homophobic, whatever it was, and we should be pissed. Sorry, can I say that on the air, Jane? Okay.
Well, you did now, honey. It's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm very split on that. I think it really just depends on each situation.
Okay.
I think that's a real balanced look at it, though, Brooke. I really mm-hmm. do. And I would agree, I do think in some instances, yes, you guys are hyper prickly about things. And yet at the same time, you're right. There are things that we should absolutely be outraged about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I have to flip it to you, Jane. From your generation down through the Gen Xers and even to the top side of the millennials, you know, but thinking of those that are Gen Xers and above, are they not sensitive enough and morally void when it comes to the sensitivities of how those Gen Zs or those younger millennials are feeling?
That's a great question, Philip. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of it is, if you are in a position of comfort,
mm-hmm.
that gives you a much different perspective.
Okay.
So if you are economically stable, if you are financially stable, if you have a stable job and a place to live and all of those things, you're going to have a much different outlook on what's fair, what's not fair, right? This is just, this is not just, because it affects you differently.
This is true.
So I think a lot of it is going to have to do with your circumstances.
I think you're right. And I just had this conversation with relatives of mine in Florida last week. And we were talking about this in the sense of, and I'm very aware and very empathetic to that space of, if you ask me these same things 10 years ago, I'd have a different answer. If you asked me these 20 years ago, when I was much younger, I'd have a significantly different answer. And I'm wondering if we are just in a space where we have so much between the demographics between each generation, because we have a very large and a very prominent and a very vocal Gen Z, the younger ones, that, you know, are not going to sit back and just be quiet and silent. But then we have very analytical, the ones that can straddle the fence on, that are both analog and digital in the millennial world. But then you have the purely analog, the 8-track, the floppy disk, the old school that said, hey, we did it without anything. When you look at the generations in those spaces, regardless of what the time frame are, is it something that you learn? And it's the first time we've really had 3-4 generations that are actually communicating, because we have the ability to, and we have the technology to communicate with each other near instantly. Because how I thought, where I'm at today in my corporate job and the things that I do, put me in a position, like you said, Jane, to make very different decisions, because I am more than comfortable. But then when I'm with, you know, my relatives that are not so comfortable, I can understand where they are and I can meet them where they're at. And I think there's so many things between the Gen Zs, the millennials, and even the Gen Xers that we have an inability to meet each other where we are and understand that Gen Z's perspective, it's not overly sensitive. It's attentive, because they're paying attention to all the parts. And the sum matters to them as much as the parts do. Whereas as you go up and you learn more, the parts are more important to us, because that's that specialization. Well, I only care about healthcare. I only care about education. I only care about law enforcement. I only care about these things because of the comfort of where we are. And so I have more thoughts on that. And I think there's, Brooke, I think you've got a lot of things, because I'm going to ask you on the, after we connect for the next break, I have one.
No pressure, Brooke. We're just putting all of the next half of the show is on you.
Well, I got to put it on her, because it's making me, it's giving me more faith in Gen Z from a space, because again, we don't get all the time with them every day. I work with one Gen Z, and then outside that one person, I'm the next youngest at 40. And there's a big gap, because the rest of my company is 50 plus. And so they look at me in a different way. And so I think that there's some things to be learned here. And I think when we get into it, you're going to really, I'm saying this, I'm making an assumption that you're either going to really like my next question or really hate it. So we're going to find out here after we come back from the next break. But Jane, I think you will remember this, because this is going to go old school. And I like that you said, Brooke, that you were kind of an old soul and you watched and you listened and you got to experience things that your parents did. And so when we come back from this next break, I think we're going to get a little juicy here. So we're going to go to a break here. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out The Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Give me just one night. I'm ready to go right now.
All right, and I'm ready to go right now with more questions for Gen Z. So feel free to call or text anytime in here to As Goes Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. I hope you've got plenty of questions for Brooke here, our in-house resident Gen Z. She's got all the answers, and she's speaking for the, she's the voice of a generation.
No pressure, Brooke.
No pressure at all. So I'm going to go to one that, you know, some may say is lighthearted, but this is a really serious question here.
Oh, gosh.
The favorites of yesteryear, and Jane, chime in here. You probably know these names, and I'm going to test your knowledge of some of this old school stuff here, because I want to know about, go back to sensitivity. Johnny Quest. Hong Kong Phooey. Tom and Jerry. The Mr. Magoo Show. The Simpsons. South Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I watch South Park a lot now, even.
Okay. Do you like South Park?
I do.
Do you like any of those other ones?
Yeah, I like... So I used to watch Tom and Jerry. I don't now. And then... What was one you said right after that?
after Tom and Jerry, the Mr. Magoo show. That's a very old one.
I used to watch that with my, so back when I was like just starting school, that was like something we'd watch, me and my sisters, like early in the morning.
Okay.
My dad would play it. But I honestly didn't know what it was until like you just like revamped a memory in my brain.
Sure, sure. Jane, did you watch any of these?
Oh, of course.
All right.
I loved Johnny Quest.
Yes, same here.
I love Johnny Quest because I wanted to be Adventure Girl, and he was Adventure Kid.
That's right. And then we had so many things that we, you know, whether you learned them or not, and things that you took head takeaways. I said those were my fond Saturday morning memories from growing up. You know, even growing up in the South, those were I thought were good things. And so when you get into the hypersensitivity of what we are feeling, that we think that the Gen Zs and everybody with the cause and, you know, whatever parts that are out there. If it's animated, is it still racist?
See, that is, I always struggle with this. My mom, I've asked her this, we've talked about this. She says no. Okay. And I always listen to what my mom says, so I also say no. And some of the stuff I don't take offense to, but then some stuff I do, I'm like, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But like, I don't, honestly, I have struggled with this question so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't ask my dad because, well, my dad's white and I don't want his opinion, to be perfectly honest, but I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
Sure. And so, and Jane, I'll pose the same to you. And I say this at the risk of getting trashed by South Park people and all the fans out there. This is not meant that way. He goes, but when you really think about, South Park is funny, no matter how you look at it. You know, all these shows had humor, had different things, but there are some things that lend that could be one way or the other. But I ask that question, if it's animated, is it racist? Inherently, it might be. You know, there's an episode at South Park where they say the N-word 42 times. Mm. I didn't count, but it's out there and it's been out there. I said, and most people that have seen that episode will say, and even the critics say, well, it was calling light to a word of negative connotation to make it less negative. And it's, you know, whether it's, you know, the two characters that are not offended by it in the show. But I link all this up to a lot of what we're hearing right now in the cancel culture, and a lot of what we're hearing now in the, you know, the spaces of the what we're seeing in basketball, what we're seeing in music, what we're seeing across the board in a lot of spaces with anti-Semitism. And I said, you know, we're seeing real people and we're seeing real things, and we're saying that we're hearing the rhetoric in all these places, whether it's Dave Chappelle, whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Kanye. There's stuff being said all over this country by all kinds of people behind closed doors, behind the microphone, all this, that, and the other. And I don't condone any of it, but I have to ask the question there, is that have we come to, as we go through those generations again, are there hypersensitivities at different levels at a different age? Because I'm very curious on, with a lot of this, whether it's the animated series from yesteryear or the animated series from today or the rhetoric that's going on, what are Gen Z's thoughts out there on things that are happening?
So when it comes to like things that are animated, like there are like things that I see that are coming out now that I feel like are saying things that could be seen as questionable, like there's like Bob's Burgers or Big Mouth or something like that.
Yes.
I don't watch that one, but my mom does. And I feel like the people that do find those shows funny are usually people that are older than me. I don't really watch a lot of animated stuff anymore, but I have noticed like my dad, my stepdad, my mom, my older cousins, like they all like watch those kind of like animated shows that are for adults, that some people could say like, just because it's a cartoon, it's still racist, it's still this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because it is different when it is like a celebrity, like Kanye saying something that he shouldn't say, or any human being saying it. Like, it does strike a different chord with me than like if it's a cartoon that I'm watching.
Jane, what are your thoughts out there?
Well, I have to admit, I have never seen South Park or The Simpsons.
Oh my.
Never. Not one episode.
You've probably added time to your life then.
Yes. I've never seen Married with Children. I've never seen...
Oh, I love that show.
A lot of things that were at the top of the pop culture did not appeal to me. And so I've never seen them. Certainly, I think that things that if what you're saying is wrong, whether it's drawn or it's live, does it matter?
That's the question of the day. You know, and I think a lot of people, I've had this conversation a couple of times in the last week, and then it's just only gotten exacerbated. And so I think they're all constructive conversations because it leads us all to learn something. And I get very curious on what others think, because I don't want to make assumptions about anybody, because sometimes you might hear a joke that maybe sometimes you're in proximity that you weren't supposed to hear. But now what are my thoughts? Are they forever changed about the person I was telling those? And am I thinking different about how I approach them, or how do I approach them or have interactions at all? And I think for the sake of not being overly or hypersensitive in all generations, I think we have to come to grips on with what these things are and either have a complete understanding and a complete agreement that right is right and wrong is wrong. And especially if it's wrong, it's wrong no matter what it is, and draw a line there. Because if we don't, then it's okay. Because we just said, hey, we won't say it as real people. We'll just create an animated series that we can do it over there. Or we'll just create a comic. Because it's just you know, a story. It's just make-believe, right? I think there's a very fine line, and it's not very far from, you know, the propaganda of the day of yesteryear from, you know, war times or whatever it might be, of how they disseminated information. And I think, and I've talked with folks, said it comes down to who your audience is and how they're receiving these and how they're accepting these. And it's what you're saying, what you might be saying is a joke. Do they believe it's the gospel? Do they believe this is real life? Oh, and if you're higher profile, if LeBron James said it, it's serious. It's real. If Donald Trump says it, it's real. Doesn't matter who the base is. What matters is that there is a base and that there's somebody that's going to believe it. And whether that's one somebody or 10 million somebodies, going back to the Swifties and the Bayhive, when you get out there, you have to be very, I won't say cautious, because I think we have become a little sensitive on those things. Yes, the show All in the Family that my grandparents used to love would never make it today.
But you know what, though, Philip? It was so groundbreaking, and Norman Lear addressed things that no one would talk about.
That's right.
And it was cringeworthy then, and it remains cringeworthy.
Yes.
You know, Brooke, I'm curious, do you and your friends ever go see comics? Do you ever go see stand-up comics?
I have never seen a comic before. I've wanted to, but I just haven't. I don't think any of them have either, as far as I know. I feel like that's not very common.
I think she's right, Jane, because I go see a lot of stand-up comics, and I don't look around the room, whether it's the Improv, whether it's the Northern Lights Theater, whether it's a theater in Chicago. Not many younger ones.
You don't see younger. That's really interesting. No. Because it would be just interesting to see what you thought was acceptable material from this comic.
Well, I think that I've watched stuff on TV, like Dave Chappelle. Like, I watched that, but I've never, like, been in a room and then watched someone tell jokes. I think it is more common for people my age to watch it later on TV or
YouTube or something.
Yeah, because a lot of people were. I've heard people that are my age be mad about certain things that comics have said on TV or whatever. But I just have never really gotten into that. Like, I don't really.
Doesn't speak to you.
Yeah, like all the stuff that I, you know, speaking to, like, when I said I was an old soul and I watched like all this old stuff, I actually looked at a list of stuff that I have watched. And it was a lot of like girly movies. It was never really like cartoons. It was even when I was really young, it was always like The Heathers, or like, I really loved Beetlejuice, or The Labyrinth is my favorite movie. The Color Purple is my favorite movie. Can't Buy Me Love. Like, those are the things that like I was watching. Cause I feel like I don't know. I resonated with those more.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to worry about that when I was watching those things.
You know, again, these are learnings here. I'm getting a better perspective of where, not the animus or the negativity comes from, that's out there in the universe, from anybody, because it's everywhere. I mean, we're in a time in our lives here in 2023, soon to become 2023, that information travels so quickly, and most of us are not seeking long form information to go out and go to the Encyclopedia Britannica and sit down and read chapters. It's our TikToks, it's our Facebook, it's our Instagram, it's imagery, it's pictures, it's stuff that's on the go. And so the conversations, and I like your point there, Jane, when it comes to, you know, groundbreaking things that were controversial. It might have been the first time. And we still have those moments. There were shows pre-pandemic and during pandemic that brought to light things that we probably would have never talked about in certain circles, but now people have had a lens of that. And I'm hoping from a lot of this stuff that we're hearing that it's at least opening up dialogues where people can ask more questions and find out why. And find out why, if someone does feel a certain way or think a certain way, where'd they get that from? Because sometimes it's just correcting the narrative. It's no different than anything else that we see in society.
But I think for some older people, and especially boomers, because there is so much sensitivity, I'm not going to ask the question.
This is true.
I have lots of questions, and I'm not going to ask them, because if I do, I'm going to get pilloried for it.
I could see that. The a woman I met on a flight, and this is last year, she called it the Paula Deen syndrome. She goes, I have questions. I'm going to ask them, but the moment I do, it's going to open a can of worms. It's going to put me in a bad light, and then I can never get out. I can never get out from that. I'm going to be labeled, and I'm going to have the scarlet letter on here because forever. I'm this person. And I said, that is true, and it's unfortunate. I said, because we don't give people the grace to get out of the way of, you know, the incoming dagger. It's like, you wanted me to ask the question, so when I ask the question, now you're mad, and now I'm demonized for it. But you asked me to ask. You told me, hey, this was a safe space.
Right.
And then you
rescinded it.
That's right. Which makes it sometimes worse. Like, oh my gosh, because now I feel like, or somebody's told me that I should feel so bad about this. And it gets into a lot of topics that, you know, a lot of people are pushing on the children. And that stuff, that's what hits near and dear to me, because I start thinking about some of these pieces out there of what goes into the school system, what is coming from the teachers of the time. And, you know, I can't answer all questions. And I've sat with it, and I've sat with my wife, and I've sat with and talked with my mom and different, you know, people that have kids of varying ages. And I think we've all come to the same thing. It's like, we're not going to talk about it right now. We want to talk about it, but not right now. And nobody has an answer on, well, when do we talk about it? I don't know. But it's not right now.
But it's not now.
And, you know, when you have kids, you're like, because I'll tell you, Jane, kids, when they say kids have, you know, come up with the darndest questions, they certainly do.
And they'll just blurt it out.
And I find myself like, don't ask any questions. I don't want to know about that. I'm going to go be over here. Go read a book. Redirect. But they have really valid questions of all parts of life because they're observant. They're absorbing. They're hearing. And when they hear something, the natural thing is to ask what, who, where, why. I don't know. I want you to tell me. And I find it very awkward sometimes where, like, an 8-year-old comes up and asks you a question. I'm like, especially if it's not your own kid. I know the answer, but I'm not going to give you the answer because I don't know if I should tell you this now. I think you should learn this when you're like 12 or 13. Or maybe your parents could tell you. And then, you know, we're all friends. They go ask their parents, and the parents call me. They're like, well, what did you say? I'm like, I didn't say a thing. I redirected them to you.
Yeah. Well, they're yours.
That's right.
Right.
And then depending on what they tell them may conflict with what I tell my own. And that's where I think that's where we run into these brick walls. And I think the dynamic we're seeing with the Gen Z and the millennials and the kids of the millennials and the kids of the Gen Xers is, when did they get that information? Because there was a level of resilience and perseverance and level of understanding. I love and I laugh at everything I see on TikTok and Instagram of the Gen Xers being the strongest ones right now. They took, you know, no crap from anybody. They went and jumped on their bike and rode off into the sunset or into the sunrise for the entire day, 900 miles. And, well, the millennials, they did the same, but they had to wait 45 minutes to put on all their headgear and helmets and this other stuff. And, well, the Gen Zs just aren't going to do it, period, because they've got an app for that, and they're going to jump into the, you know, whatever the vehicle of the day is that's going to take them to where they're going. So I just think it draws on a lot of things that make us want to ask those questions. So we're going to come back to some more good stuff here as we're wrapping up things here soon. So we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Let them know what's going on.
Hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 33 overnight under clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High of 55 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 37, overcast skies. Upper 30s Sunday, with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
And I'm not talking about...
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.